Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Soaring with the Eagles in Leadership and Excellence with your host, Misty P. Long, Director of Devoted to Him Ministries. Devoted to Him Ministries is committed to winning the lost and building up the body of Christ through broadcasting the Word of God with fire, faith, and power, teaching all nations and lifting up the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Today's message is designed to help you grow in every area of your being. Through the devoted lifestyle, we can all win. The earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. James 5:16. And now, Devoted to Him Ministries founder, Misty P. Long.
Well, hello, everybody. It is so wonderful to be speaking to you again here on the broadcast of Devoted to Him Global Ministries Incorporated with Misty Long and Patricia Jones. And we're just very excited about the opportunity to come and be with you today and to discuss God and His Word and His goodness, His power, His Spirit, and His ability in the earth. And, of course, this is a wonderful and glorious season that we're in right now. It's the season where we are remembering the hallmark event of Christianity, which is the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I tell you, we are on fire in Devoted to Him Global Ministries, the entire family group of us, at this time of the year, because, wow, it is just so exciting to know our Lord and to remember the sacrifice that He made for us and to celebrate Him for the sacrifice that He made. And so tonight we're just going to be discussing the joy and the beauty of the love He shared and what He did to give us the opportunity to have everlasting life. And so we just have some thoughts that we want to come together and to share with you. We know that the atmosphere is full of angels and just full of the anointing of God and the grace of God. And we're just going to flow with Him as we discuss Him tonight. We want you to join in on the conversation. We want you to call somebody, invite someone to listen in. This is hot off the wire. I'm going to tell you, Jesus is on the main line tonight. And I believe that all you have to do is tell Him what you need. And so we just really appreciate you, those who are listening week after week after week, and we thank God for you. We thank God for your prayers, for praying for Devoted to Him Ministries, and praying for those of us who are here in the trenches, believing God and making sure that we're staying about our Father's business in the year 2015 and watching His miraculous, wonder-working hand among us. Patricia, why don't you greet the audience and just tell them hello real quick.
Well, I just want to say hello, and happy to be back on the show and share a few tonight, and I'm looking forward to another exciting program as we share a few tonight, the Word of God.
Amen, amen. And, you know, Patricia, I don't see how it cannot be exciting when it's the Word, amen?
That's true. That's very true.
I just don't see how it can be a boring moment if it's the Word. I saw something on Facebook the other day. In fact, I shared it when I saw it. A very famous preacher of a couple generations past, A.W. Tozer. Someone was quoting him, and he made a statement. Don't get into the habit of just saying amen to every word you hear or every word in every sermon that you hear. You know, that was the basic point he made. He said, before you say amen, make sure that word is dead or alive. Hallelujah. Amen. Because, you know, just quoting the scripture don't mean it is the word. Come on now. You know, you ain't got to be born again to quote, to just read a verse. You know, but it's the anointing that breaks the yoke. So we need to be listening, you know, and make sure we agree with the living word of God. And so we give God the glory and the honor. So like I said, we're remembering this holiday season We're remembering what the world calls Easter. We call it Resurrection Sunday. And, you know, we're just examining this thing, you know. And we got another generation coming along that has to be taught. We must share and get this message out. And so I just want to start out by saying that it's a couple of verses were put on my heart that made me think about this time that we're in. And I'll be sharing those couple of verses. But just to give a quick overview of where we're at, this is a holy time. And, you know, leading up to the actual Easter celebration day, we start out 6 weeks before that. And, of course, we have Lent, the beginning of Lent, which is a time of fasting and moderation and consecration. This goes on with believers around the world for 6 weeks. And then, of course, Ash Wednesday. That is a part of the whole holy resurrection season. And that's signifies, you know, rubbing ashes on the forehead in the sign of the cross. That was what the 2,000 years ago, that was what the early Christians did. They would rub ashes on their forehead. And I'm sure there's some Christians somewhere in the world today that probably literally do that. I don't think most of us do that in the United States, literally speaking, but that's how it became Ash Wednesday, because they would rub ashes on their forehead in the sign of the cross. And, of course, it was signifying, you know, that in their hearts they're repenting of sinful activity, clearly identifying themselves as Christians. So when you rub that sign of the cross, those ashes in the sign of a cross on your forehead, you're identifying your individual self, saying, I myself, you know, have accepted Jesus as my personal Savior. And then, of course, another part of this Lent holy Easter season is Maundy Thursday, M-A-U-N-D-A-Y, M-A-U-N-D-A-Y, Maundy Thursday. And this is where Jesus, we celebrate and remember Jesus' command to love and serve one another. And so, and Jesus did it in the form of an illustrative message. He did some actions to demonstrate that he meant for us to love and serve one another in humility. And he did that the week leading up to his death by two things. On that Thursday, we celebrate that on Thursday. You know, Friday is when we celebrate the crucifixion. But the day before that, on Maundy Thursday, we're remembering the Lord's Supper, where he said, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, remember me. And then number two, he washed the disciples' feet. The day before he died, he washed the disciples' feet. And he was saying, as I wash all 24 feet, 12 people, two feet apiece, as I will go down the line and wash your feet, so do I want you to wash one another's feet in love, service, and humility. And then, of course, we have what we call the best Friday in the world. Come on now. And people who are not saved don't get it. They're like, why are the Christians calling this Good Friday? Are they crazy? This is a Friday where they're saying that the man who's their God, their King, their Lord, their Savior, was whipped all night long, spit on, beat to death. They beat his back so bad, they said his back became like hamburger with that cat of nine tails. Cat of nine tails is a strap with little steel ends on it. They whipped him all night long, gashed his side open, put a crown of thorns on his head, and put a sour, nasty sponge in his mouth. How in the world? Well, you got to be saved to understand it. Amen, Pat? You got to be a believer to understand this. The best Friday the world has ever known was Good Friday, because that's the Friday that I was dark, I was sinful, I was hateful, I was sick, I was ill, I was crazy, I was on my way to hell on Good Friday. But it's a Good Friday because he saved me from myself. So I thank God for Good Friday. And then, of course, he was crucified, dead, buried, and then glory, hallelujah, the pinnacle of it all. Early that morning, Mary went to the tomb, and the stone was rolled away, and the angel said, why are you crying? He's not here. He's risen just like he said. Hallelujah. So that's what the discussion is about today, that he did, as always, he did just what he said he was going to do. If the word says, let every man be a lie, let God be the truth. And one thing about it, once God said it, it becomes the truth. God is not a man that he should lie. So he always does what he says he's going to do. And, of course, I forgot one, Palm Sunday. That's the Sunday the week before Good Friday, when he made his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And that's basically the point I'm going to be making tonight. And Pat has several dynamic points that she's going to be bringing up for discussion. But that's my main thing tonight, is his tri-entry. When he finally said, this is the week before Good Friday, the week before Easter, okay? And he's coming into Jerusalem for the last time. And he knows he's about to be crucified for our sins, so that anybody that believes on him can be saved. He knows he's about to do that sacrifice. And, he tells his disciples, go to this place and get me a foal, which is a baby donkey, and one that's, young, never been used. And they went to that place. It was just like he said. They asked for the donkey. They got it. And then they went and took the robes and the cloaks off their own back to put on the donkey, because, after all, this is a king entering Jerusalem. Okay, so he's got to have the things that show that he's royalty. And so if a king was coming, they're going to roll out the red carpet. They're going to have a special walkway for the king and so forth. And so starting with the disciples, who put their coats and things on the donkey when they brought it to Jesus before King Jesus got on it. They didn't want him just getting on the bare back of a donkey. They put their clothes on it. They took the coat off their own back. But then once the people saw what was happening, then it started picking up momentum. And the crowd started taking their coats and jackets off. And, some of them had come for miles for this. Some of their coats were not the cleanest. These are the everyday working people. These are not rich people. Some of them coat probably wasn't that clean, probably kind of sweaty. They had come for miles around for this event. And they all took their coats off and laid them down so that the path for Jesus was strewn with their coats. He was coming in as a royal king, not just coming in with his donkey, walking on the dirt, but walking on their coats. And they were all very, very excited. Everybody knew. And, throughout the last 3 years, anybody tried to call him a Messiah, he would shut them up. He would cast devils out of people, and they said, oh, you are the Son of God. He shut them up. He would heal people. He raised people from the dead. Oh, then their eyes would open in the spirit, and they would see him for who he really was. And they said, oh, you are the Savior of the world. He shut them up. But now we come to the day where Jesus is not shutting anybody up. He's like, tell it on the mountain, tell it on the hill, tell it everywhere. I am the King of the Jews. I am God. I am the Lord. I am the Savior of the world. I am the Son of God. Shout it from, tell everybody. And so people were like, they were obeying, his command, and they were like, Hosanna, 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 he's coming. And so it was a very excited crowd. It was a glorious day. Jesus is triumphant as our leader, and he's coming in as a conquering king, and the people are just going crazy with praises. And so this brings me to my main conversation point tonight, which is they missed the whole point. The crowd missed the whole point, and most of the disciples, if not all of them, missed the whole point that day. And they were all in emotional frenzy, and like I said, all excited and, carrying on, supposedly having a time of praise and worship. But the vast majority of them, including his disciples who had been with them out for 3 whole years and seen every miracle he did, just about, were all missing the whole point. Because they thought that he was coming in as a king who was going to forcefully put down the Roman government that they were under. The Roman government was oppressing them, charging them high taxes, discriminating against them, being mean to them, bullying them. And they thought, oh, he's going to come, and he's going to whip and beat down the Roman government, and he's going to take over the Roman palace, and he's going to save us in this country that we're in. That's what they thought. And these same ones that were saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, make way for the Lord. He is the King of the Jews. just 7 days later, actually about 5 days later, was saying, crucify him, crucify him. The same mouth, the same lips, the same tongue that was saying, praise him, you know, he's the king. A week later, 5 days later, was saying, kill him. Because they got upset when it began to sink in. They began to realize, oh, he's not going to put the Roman government out of business. He's not going to force the Roman government out of power. Well, what in the world do we need him for? Why am I calling him king? Why am I shouting and praising his name? I thought he was going to do this, and he's sitting up here dying a miserable death on a cross like, you know, they have more respect for the thieves than they do for him. This is not what I thought it was going to be. They missed the whole point. They didn't understand that Jesus was not coming to save them from the Roman government. He was coming to save them from hell. He was coming to save their spirits. Jesus was coming to win their hearts and their minds, not to, you know, forcefully put out the Roman government. And so if you look at the scriptures, it discusses this very point. I got two verses. And the first verse is 1 Corinthians 1:18. And it really fits this Palm Sunday, the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. It fits it very well. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the story and message of the cross is sheer absurdity and folly to those who are perishing and on their way to perdition. But to us who are being saved, it is the manifestation of the power of God. So, again, God himself and Jesus, his son, they chose to make the cross the central point of Christianity. And they chose to make the preaching of the cross the path you had to come through in order to receive this everlasting life that Jesus was offering. And on Palm Sunday, we saw what still happens in the world today with unbelievers. And unfortunately, even people who are, who consider themselves believers and go to church every Sunday, some people sit on the pew every Sunday and they're still missing the whole point. Still thinking that Jesus is Dr. Feelgood. Come on, Pat, let's shout. If people sit on the pew every Sunday, think Jesus came to make me happy. Jesus died so I can have all, you know, just the car I want. And Americans really had that bad. Jesus came so I can live in the exact house I want to live in. Jesus came because he's going to give me the career I want. Jesus came because he's going to give me the husband I want, and he's going to give me the kids I've always dreamed I'd have. He's going to give me everything I want, and I'm going to have a happy life. That's what Jesus came for. In fact, unfortunately, that's really a false doctrine that's out in the world today. The Bible doesn't say anything about Jesus came to make you happy. Now, it does talk about joy. Come on, let's shout. But joy and happiness are not the same thing. He came to give you joy, joy that the world can't give and joy that the world can't take away. But you can have joy and not be happy. In fact, Pat, I can remember us in some past episodes talking about that, the difference between joy and happy. Joy is something you can have on the sick bed. Come on now. Joy is something you can have on poverty row. Joy is something the slaves had for 400 years. How do you think all the slaves didn't lose their minds and go crazy under those miserable conditions? Because they had the joy the world couldn't give and the world couldn't take away. Come on now. It's a secret that believers have. That only believers can tap into and only believers know about. Look at the insane world we live in today. It's one bad news report across this planet after the other. I don't see how people who are not believers can make it. But when you know the Lord, life has all kind of ups and downs and highs and lows and good and bad things. God didn't say everything that happened to us was going to be good. He never promised that. Only thing he said was in Romans 8:31 that those who are called according to his purpose, all things will work together for our good. See, a lot of people go and misquote that scripture. All things are good for those who love God and call according to his purpose. That's a misquote of that verse. All things are not good, but all things work together for good. The good and the bad, the happy and the sad work together. So these people thought that Jesus was going to be Dr. Feelgood and be who they wanted him to be and do what they wanted him to do. And that's one of the quickest things a baby Christian's going to find out. Once the honeymoon's over with Jesus, once the newness wore off of being born again, and those first trials and tribulations and disappointments come up, that's where the real test comes. Did you really get born again? And if you did you allow the word, think about it and meditate on it to get in you enough to understand that Jesus died, first of all, to save you. And Jesus died for your spirit, to give you a place where your spirit can live forever in the presence of Almighty God. And that whether you're going through a test, a trial, a high time, or a low time, what he's promised is that he would be with you always. He said he'd never leave you or forsake you, no matter what. And the only way you can break up with Jesus or get divorced from Jesus is if you walk away from him. He's going to be there. He's going to be with you in the fiery furnace. But the fiery furnace is going to come. And there are going to be days you don't feel emotionally happy. There are going to be many days you're not going to feel that way. But that has absolutely nothing to do with your faith. That has nothing to do with Jesus. That has nothing to do with your spirit. And nothing to do with your everlasting life. And you got, the sooner you understand that, the more joy you're going to have, the more effective you're going to be for the kingdom of God, the more effective you're going to be for your family, your coworkers, and your friends, and your fellow church members, and everybody that has to be around you and live around you and put up with you. Because once you understand that, then you have maturity. You become a daughter or son of God that can carry some weight. Carry a vision, carry a calling, let's shout. Carry a business, carry a ministry, carry a church, no matter what you have to go through. And most people that have been saved any amount of time, I tell you, you can confirm if I'm saying this right or not. It's many things that didn't turn out the way they thought. Come on now.
Mm-hmm.
Many things didn't turn out the way they thought the first day they got saved. Come on now.
Oh, yeah.
But the testimony is the fact that you still held on to God, still believed, and you still kept loving him, you still kept serving him, you still kept praising him, and you trusted him better than your own judgment. Come on now. You trusted him better than you trusted yourself. That means that you have him on the throne and not yourself on the throne.
That's good.
Didn't turn out, okay, but you continue to believe when you had no reason to believe, as far as your own human thinking went. Your own mind even said to you, why are you still following him? Why are you still calling yourself a Christian? That's exactly what Job's flesh and said to him, and the devil going to always help your flesh, you know, and he's going to always use the people closest to you. Job's wife is the enemy, and Job's flesh, speaking to him through his own wife, said, man, look at all this bad luck. You got a whole slew of bad, bad things that happened to you. Why don't you curse God and die? And I'm telling you, every serious believer has had a Job's wife in one form or the other, has had a series of bad calamities occur, sometimes through no fault of their own. Sometimes it is their fault. Sometimes it's not even their fault. Just a whole bunch of what appear to be really bad things in the world happened to them. And somebody with the spirit of Job's wife just came along, tried to push them over the edge, say, hey, why don't you go on and end it? Or why don't you go on and become an atheist? Why don't you go ahead and walk away from those hypocrites? But why would you serve a God? You done lost your house? Come on now. You weren't able to finish your college degree? You lost that baby? You wanted a baby so bad that you miscarried. And you was going to church and paying your tithes and praising his name, and look what you got. And here's Sister Susie over here. She could commit adultery on her husband. She's a gossip. She's a liar. She's a phony. And she got 10 kids. Now, why would you serve a God? Look like she's more blessed than you are. Why don't you walk away from that mess? Ain't none of that real. Those old fake evangelists, all they want is money. Why don't you quit? Same message in the past. Curse God and back. But the bottom line is, see, these are the people that are missing the whole point. Singing in the choir, shouting, falling out, playing the organ, playing the drums. Come on now, a pastor's best first assistant may be the pastor himself. Deacons, elders, the leaders, stewards on the board. They're everywhere, throughout the church, at all different walks of the church. That a church for the wrong motive and the wrong reason and missing the whole point. And uplifting holy hands and there before the praise team will get there. They just can't wait for praise service. But they got in their mind that God is something that he's not. And God is there to be their little charm, you know, or their little toy that they can manipulate for the things they want. And you better believe if God don't come through. Come on now. If God don't do it, don't turn out like they thought. Come on now. So don't miss the whole point. And I thank God that because of Jesus, we have an opportunity to not be where they were at. We have an opportunity to know the message of the cross, to know who our Savior is. We have an opportunity to not miss the whole point. We can know who he is, we can get the whole point, we can understand, and we can have the right motive. And last thing I want to say is over in 1 John 2. In 1 John 2, is all laid out, and I like the King James Version, the Amplified Version, and I also like the Message Version. But basically, over in 1 John 2, it talks about the anointing that is in us. 1 John 2. Verse 20 and 21. It really is actually verse 20 through 26. John is one of my favorites. John was the beloved. John was the beloved disciple. He was the closest one to Jesus. And he wrote this in 1 John 2, verse 20. But you belong. The Holy One anointed you, and you know it. I haven't been writing this to tell you something you don't know, but to confirm the truth you do know. And to remind you that the truth doesn't breed lies. Who is the liar here? It's the person who denies that Jesus Christ is the divine Christ. That's who. This is what makes an antichrist. Denying the Father, denying the Son. No one who denies the Son has any part with the Father. But affirming the Son is an embrace of the Father as well. Stay with what you heard from the beginning, the original message. Let it sink into your life. If what you heard from the beginning lives deeply in you, you will live deeply in both Son and Father. This is exactly what Christ promised, eternal life, real life. I've written to warn you about those who are trying to deceive you, but they're no match for what is deeply embedded within you, Christ's anointing, no less. You don't need any of their so-called teaching. Christ's anointing teaches you the truth on everything you need to know about yourself and about him, uncontaminated by a single lie. Live deeply in what you were taught. In verse 28, he says, and now, children, stay with Christ. Live deeply in Christ. Then we'll be ready for him when he appears. Ready to receive him with open arms, with no cause for red-faced guilt or lame excuses when he arrives. Once you're convinced that he is right and righteous, you'll recognize that all who practice righteousness are God's true children. The kingdom of God is love, joy, and peace in the Holy Ghost. He came to be king of our hearts, Pat. I'm not saying that he didn't, you know, a lot of people think he came to be king of my pocketbook. He came to be king of my career. He came to be king of my wardrobe and my closet. And all those things are fine, and God, you know, is in the blessing business. I'm not saying God don't want you to have material things. The place he wants to rule and reign and the place he wants to conquer is in your heart and in your mind. He wants your soul. He wants your everlasting being. That's what he wants to be king of. If he's king of that, we know everything else is going to be all right. So, you know, as we think about this Easter season, we want to make sure that we understand this king. what he's king of, who he is, why he came, and what the our proper response needs to be to what he did on Good Friday and on what happened on Resurrection Sunday. That we are in order, because he's a God of decency and order, that we understand and that we're responding in an orderly way. And if we do that, everything's going to be all right. Amen. So Pat, tell me what's on your mind today. Talk to us today.
Well, when I think of Easter, of course, like you said, you know, the resurrection, the cross. And just last night I was watching The Passion on TV. And that is one of the best movies I believe I've ever seen about the resurrection. I mean, it couldn't be any more in detail and adequate that was. And I watched that, and I got it kind of late, but, you know, I was watching that. And, I think when I think of Easter, when I think of him going to the cross, I think of two things. I think of salvation, and I think of healing. And, of course, we couldn't have either one if he didn't go to the cross. And we know that he was our sacrifice for the sins. I mean, it wasn't an animal being sacrificed. It was Lord Jesus Christ, you know, the Son of God, you know, that died on the cross for our sins. So I know when we think of healing, well, you know, I need to get healed. Well, he says, by his stripes you're healed. So when he got on that cross and he was beaten on that cross and his stripes, it says we're healed. So we got salvation and healing. I mean, that's a lot. And then, you know, on the third day, of course, he arose from the dead. And, of course, he lives today. You know, he rose from the dead then, but he lives today, and he's risen, and he lives in our hearts. And he's living right now. And of course, in the believers, he lives in us. Mm. So, I mean, he's always with us.
Mm. And Pat, you know, I'm glad you brought that up, because, you know, I was thinking about that, because, you know, I had such a wonderful Easter, you know, and Easter was just recently here. A couple Sundays ago, and I just had a wonderful, wonderful, just a real peaceful, serene, really beautiful day. And all week long, really this past week actually, which this past week was the week after Easter, it was just a week ago, the song, the hymnal, He Lives, just kept coming in my spirit numerous times a day, every day. In fact, it came up today. You know, it's about the last 7 or 8 days. And so I kept telling myself, you know, and I would be out and about and working and handling business and everything, and I would be like, boy, when I get home, I'm going to look. It's been years since I have actually sung that hymn. I'm going to look that hymnal up, because, you know, I think I was just singing the chorus over and over and over. It would just come up. I mean, Pat, my mind would be on something totally different. But suddenly out of my spirit, it would waft up, you know, kind of like if something's cooking and the aroma wafts up to your nose. It would just kind of waft up out of my spirit. And then next thing I know, my spirit is singing it again over and over and over. So finally, and that's really not good. When the Holy Spirit's ministering us to a verse or a song to you like that, as soon as you can, don't fool around like I did. Because that's the impulse of God. You always want to respond to the impulse of God. Just like prayer. You know, Pat, how you'll be going about your day, and then different things will come to you, and you'll think in the back of your mind, ooh, I need to pray about that. You know, and it might be something that even is trying to come to you in the form of a worry. But if you're a disciplined believer and one who is prayerful and knows the word on prayer, you immediately realize, no, that's not that didn't come to me to worry about that. That came to me because I need to pray about that. But we know that sometimes you're not in a place where you can actually get into some quiet time. You know, you may be mowing the lawn or washing dishes or sweeping the floor or on the computer. You may be working, you know what I'm saying? So it may not be a moment, but yet you kind of foul in the back of your mind, well, I can't wait till I get along with God, you know. And really, you know, I take that back. It's probably good to practice saying a little brief prayer right then, you know what I'm saying? Because it's kind of religious to say, well, I can't pray until I get along with God. You can say something right then, but you might not can really dig down into it real good, you know what I'm saying? But every impulse to pray, you want to act on it. Because that's God, that's the Holy Spirit, that's your life and your future in your hands. You know what I'm saying? Because you got to pray stuff out. And the same thing with these songs, when the Holy Spirit is ministering to your spirit, you don't want to fool around. So I really want a good example in that, because I didn't immediately go find this. But eventually I did, and even before we had the show tonight, and I said to myself, I sure wish I could sing. Because, you know, Pat, if I could sing, I sure would sing this song. But I know that's not my gift, so you don't have to worry, Pat. I'm not about to build out in a tune or nothing. But I thought I would read this real quick, because the must, you know, and I did this posting on Facebook where I had such a good day on Easter, I posted a picture of myself, and I just wrote, you know, he lives, you know, reflecting on a risen Savior. You know, he lives, he lives. And it was a very popular post on Facebook. I think there was a real anointing on it, because I think that I was giving witness. God was using me to give witness that he lives. Because that's what Easter is all about for us as Christians, is that we are celebrating and letting the world know that Jesus is alive. And that we believe that, and it's through our belief and our faith that the world has to, you know, acknowledge it, that, hey, Jesus is still among us in the spirit of his people. But this is how it goes. Now, what I kept getting all week was the chorus. I went and pulled my hymnal open just now, and it's on page 102 of my hymnal. It says, he lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives within my heart. And listen to this verse. I serve a risen Savior, he's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever men may say. I see his hand of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always near. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. The second verse. In all the world around me, I see his loving care. And though my heart grows weary, I know that he is leading through all the stormy blast. The day of his appearing will come at last. And final verse, verse 3, rejoice, rejoice, O Christian, lift up your voice and sing eternal hallelujahs to Jesus Christ the King, the hope of all who seek him, the help of all who find. None other is so loving, so good and kind. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart.
It is beautiful. I want to share a scripture, if you don't mind.
Go right ahead. No problem.
Okay, this 1 Peter, it's 1, chapter 1, third verse. It says, praise be to the God of our Lord. Praise be to the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's out of the NIV. Isn't that good?
Amen. Powerful.
Mm-hmm. That's it right there. The new birth, the resurrection. That tells it all right there.
Mm-hmm. And like you said, Pat, and I think that I know that we have known each other and have been going to the same church and have even been on a mission trip. In fact, we actually met on a mission trip and going to Africa with our church. And I've known you since 2007. And I can say that, and I'm not just saying it to flatter you, and I've told you that in person because it's always good for us to sharpen one another like iron sharpens iron, and as Christians for us to encourage each other. And that's one real hallmark I see in your life. Is you appear to have a very in-depth understanding of what you just read. And I see it in your behavior and in your actions and how you treat people, you know, and how you handle situations, you know, a very in-depth understanding. And that's one thing we have to watch out for in the body of Christ. In fact, Paul even warned in the scriptures about giving too much exhortation to novices, who really haven't had enough Christian living to really know what they're talking about. You understand what I'm saying? See, we can fool around in the church and be like the world, making celebrities out of people because of their talent, you know, because they sing good, because they play an instrument well, because they speak well, you know, because they have charisma, you know, or maybe they can draw a crowd or they can get people all emotional and everything and all caught up. You know, there's nothing wrong with some of that, but when you're dealing with the vessel, that's all they really have to offer. The founder of the Bible school I went to called it laying empty hands on empty heads. You know what I'm saying? Well, you know, really, it's nothing but a show. You know, I might as well just go down to the rhythm and blues show as to be ministered to by some of these novices, you know, that really have not been living in the Word very long. Or maybe they've been living in the Word for a while, but they haven't been applying it. And you can look at, again, let's look at what people do. Let's not just look at what people say. And in the Bible, it talks about word and deed. And it's through what people do, we really see how much they understand. Not so much through what they say, or even maybe how beautifully they minister. Okay, but when we talk about character, fruit of the Spirit, that's really what God is after. Because talents are given. There's not a lot of work you got to put into that. But the fruit of the Spirit, knowing how to be faithful, knowing how to love your enemies, love the hard people, love the difficult people, love the mean people, love the bullies, those are the ones who are most in need of somebody being patient with them. Okay? Paul, Jesus himself said, well, anybody can love your lovers. Anybody can love somebody treating them good. That takes nothing. A lazy person can do that, but where you really are sweating and maybe crying and proud and they don't even know it is when you got to be around a difficult person every day. And you can keep your cool. Come on, Pat, let's shout. You can keep your cool and walk in love and forgive everything. Pat, there's some people so that you got to forgive them 5 minutes. Come on, let's go ahead and tell the truth about it. Every 5 minutes you got to forgive them. Come on now. Those are the people that provoke the most anger out of people, but those are really the people who are most in the need of this so-called divine agape love of God we're talking about. And God needs some people that can carry that kind of load. Come on, Pat, let's shout. And that's, you know, to me, that's the talents I admire. You know, it's the people that endure and day after day, year after year, month after month, out there with the sleeves rolled up in the trenches of life, keeping their Christian testimony and their Christian character together, no matter what they have to put up with, no matter what they have to deal with. To me, that's what I admire. And so I see that a lot of that in you. And like I said, I ain't been knowing you 2 minutes, and none of us are perfect. But I see you demonstrate that you've thought real deep and long about the cross.
Amen.
About the death and burial, and about the resurrection, and what
Amen.
It really means personally, and what it means in demonstration, and that's where we need to be, Pat. And as we disciple people, that's how what we need to be discipling about. Because talent comes natural; just with experience, that'll grow. But what about humility? You know, like we talked about, you know, earlier, Jesus said, "Hey, wash each other's feet." With most of us, the older you get, the uglier your feet get. Come on, Pat, let's go ahead and tell the truth about it. Well, you could say in the natural, maybe one of the ugliest, smelliest parts of the body is the feet. Mm-hmm. Jesus did that for a reason.
And,
he said, you bow down and you wash. People got calluses and sores on their feet. They got fungus on their feet. Jesus said, some people got sores on their feet, got corns on their feet.
Hmm.
But Jesus said, you serve one another. And I'll
That's
show
true.
You what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
You get down here and you wash each other's feet. Don't let anything be too low that you wouldn't do for your brother or sister.
Amen. That's
good. Help them. You bow down and you humble yourself and you serve and you do it in the name of Jesus. And as you do it, remember me. Remember me. And I know a few shows back, I shared how I've had a revelation. I mean, in fact, it started just this year. You know, we're now to the fourth month of 2015, right? And started with the January fast, God began to give me a deeper revelation of I surrender all. I was sitting there looking at that phrase, and all of a sudden, like, the Holy Spirit jumped out at me and said, I surrender all. And then I began to see scenes of people, you know, like spitting on you or cursing you out or mocking you or making fun of you or being difficult with you, you know, or trying to hurt you. I begin to see all this story running through my mind, and Jesus said to put up with those things and stay humble and keep your mouth shut and walk in love.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I surrender mean. That's what, no. It wasn't I surrender all, Pat. It was yes, Lord. Jesus said, this is what yes, Lord. And, you know, that's a famous soul spiritual song, you know, that in a lot of these churches, you know, they love to get a bishop or somebody, so, you know, especially an older person, to really just drag out, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. You know, you done heard that song before. Yes, Lord. Again, I'm not a singer. But, you know, they just take that one, two words and just make a big old 20-minute song. Yes, Lord, yes, my soul says yes, 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 yes. But the Lord was telling me for months ago. And, of course, I've heard it. I've sung it myself. I've said yes to the Lord myself in many areas of my life. But God gave me a deeper dip in it. And he said, this is what yes, Lord, means. It don't just mean singing a powerfully emotional, moving song. But yes, Lord, means when it's nasty, when it's dirty, when it's hard, when people don't appreciate it, when you do for people what you know they wouldn't do for you. But you don't even let that be in your mind. You just go ahead and do it anyway because I've given you the ability to do it and because I've told you to do it.
Mm-hmm.
He said, that's what yes, Lord, means. And stick with it and don't regret it and don't take it back. That's what yes, Lord, means. That means completely yes. No matter what it costs me, no matter how hard it gets, no matter how much I'm kicked, no matter how much I'm beat down, no matter how much I'm rejected, know how much I'm lied about, how much I'm accused of things that are not true, I continue to say yes to you and continue to trust you to help me to do it your way and not the world's way. That's what yes, Lord, really means.
That's good.
And I'm sorry I interrupted you. Go ahead, because I know you were sharing.
Well, I was just sharing that scripture, and if you want to give an altar call, we can give that.
Praise God. Praise God. Why don't you just lead us in that, and not only for salvation, but they brought up healing, and I felt that too. I didn't know you were even going to bring that up, but I felt that myself, that I believe there's some that are in need of. Because you're right, he died for our sins.
Mm-hmm.
But he also died for our sicknesses. That same act, he died for our sicknesses.
Well, I just want to, you know, say a prayer. If you have any sickness or anything that you want to get healed of, that you would just lay hands on your body right now. And I just want to pray that Lord Jesus Christ will heal you of that.
Oh, glory.
Effect,
hallelujah.
Of that, whatever's in your body, the illness, that he will heal you in the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
It's because according to his word, by his stripes we're healed.
Yes, Lord.
So I just
yes.
pray right now that you're healed in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Also, I want to lead you into a prayer of salvation. If you've never asked Jesus Christ to come into your life, this is a great time to ask him to come in. Just repeat this prayer wherever you are right now. Dear Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I believe that you died for my sins and rose from the grave. I now turn from my sins and invite you to come into my heart to live. I receive you as my personal Savior, and I follow you as my Lord. Amen. So if you said that prayer tonight, the angels in heaven are rejoicing.
Well,
because
hallelujah.
Jesus is now in your heart.
Well,
and welcome to the kingdom of God. I mean,
welcome,
you couldn't have made any better decision. I couldn't have done it at a better time.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We just thank God for you. Amen. And we thank God for the resurrection. Without that, I wouldn't even be here right now. Who knows where I'd be or what I'd be. I don't even want to think about it. I'm just so glad that Jesus had me on his mind and that he loved me so much. And I have dedicated my life. And for every day that I live, going forward, I will continue to give myself away in his name. Wow. To give myself away every chance I get, all day, every day, to give myself away in his name, you know, and to trust him, you know, to use me in his great commission, to go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. This vision is a worldwide international vision. And, you know, it's really getting in us. I mean, it is the seed that is in devoted to him. And, you know, the ministers that are devoted to him, you know, it's that seed that is in us. And it's been passed on to us from others who are involved in international worldwide ministry. Because if you do ministry wide, all ministry is worldwide, okay? Around the block, it's the world. Come on, Pat, let's shout. You know, everybody's not going to go overseas, but anything outside your door is the world. Come on now.
That's right.
And he said, go out, reach out in my name, cast out devils. In my name, speak in tongues. In my name, heal the sick. Come on now. In my name, I commission you and anoint you to go in Jesus' name. And I've noticed, you know, as I minister now, that cloak is becoming stronger and stronger upon me with the worldwide vision. And I can just kind of see, you know, and, you know, just how that works. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I can just see that. You know, that as I believe that way and pray that way and function that way, it becomes more and more real and more potent and more powerful. The nations get all in you, you know, and you know, he's saying in Psalms 2, ask me and I'll give you the nations. Come on now.
Ask me.
I'll give you the nations. And I ask him all the time, give me the nations and give me the world. And sometimes you go around people that might not have that type of worldwide vision. You can be weird to them. I mean, because we're kind of anointing this on you, you know. And when you got a worldwide vision, you're not going to always do no 1, 2, 3 points and sit down. Come on, Pat, let's shout. You know, you can pray prophetically. Come on now. You know, if you don't come and give me some formula. And I ain't got nothing wrong with 2 or 3 points. God can move in that, and sometimes I have that. Come on now. But I'm not religious. I'm not nailing God down to 3 points every time I speak. Introduction, 3 points, and a conclusion. I'm not going to do that. I say, Holy Ghost, have your way. Heal the sick. Raise the dead. Cast out devils. If there's 1,000 people here, I pray every one of them will get the exact need met in Jesus' name.
That's
so
good.
That means
that's
a speaker,
good.
Your spirit is going 1,000 different ways. Come on now. Your body's in one spot, but God is using you. You are broken bread and poured out wine for the whole crowd. And for those, again, who not around that type of thing, you can see that they enjoying it, but it's strange to them. Because they're like, woo, where's she coming from? Glory to God. But like I said, when the anointing hits you, the anointing hits you. You know, Jesus said it's like the wind. You don't know where the wind came from, you don't know where the wind's going, but you know something hit you and something knocked your hairdo down. Come on now. Glory to his holy name. So we thank God for being a Holy Ghost filled ministry.
Hallelujah.
And we thank God for being a Bible believing ministry. And my heart's desire and goal is that God will have his way in devoted to him. And every time we come to you, it's not about Misty. It's not about Pat. He takes care of us. But when we get on this radio program, it's all about you. And my prayer is always, Lord, meet the needs, bless the people, say that word in due season that somebody needs, heal somebody, save somebody, deliver somebody, set somebody free, give a right now word, because faith is now. God will meet you now on the corner. Come on now, let's shout that. I believe God met some people on the corner. I believe God met some people. I believe God has some appointments now, not next week, not next month, not next, but now faith feels a substance of what you hope for and the evidence of what you don't see. Faith is what you believe now. And he said he'll meet you with your belief and your faith. Glory to God. And you ain't got to wait all day. You ain't got to wait all night. But now he's here. And now he's carrying on his service. He's carrying on his ministry. He's carrying on his work right here and now in Jesus' name. And that's how we believe. That's the approach we have. Come on now. And that's how God moves. Because he expect it. He wants it. And that's all it takes. We expect it. We take him at his word, and he wants to perform his word, so the devil's out of business. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
On this radio broadcast, if you have me at your church, if you have me at your ministry, if you call us to your house, the same thing is what's going to happen. We're authentic. We're real. We don't play games. What you see is what you get.
Hallelujah.
But I guarantee you that God will move. He will deliver. He will answer, because that's how we believe, and he meets us where our faith is at. So we give God the praise, and I've enjoyed the show. I always do, and I always enjoy Radio Land. It's one of the outreaches God has given us, and we know that it's growing and it's going to grow. We believe that. We know that's the heart of God. And I always say, I said in the beginning of the show tonight, tell somebody about us. You know, spread the word, share, you know. And we know there's so many out there in need of the anointing. And so, hey, we want you to have a fabulous week. We will be praying for you. Pat, did you have anything else you wanted to say?
Well, I just want to say that the ones that accepted Christ tonight, just try to find a church that believes the Bible and that a Bible-believing church, a church you can learn and grow in. Just try to get one in, get into a church as soon as possible, so that way you can grow in your faith.
Amen. And if you want some help or a direction to get started in, finding a church home, as I've said before, I got a list for you of good Bible-believing churches where I know you'll be discipled. And I even have a website you can go to get a list of churches, or I can give you a list of churches that are, like I said, good, strong Bible-teaching churches. All you got to do is come here on my Blog Talk page, go to Blog Talk Radio's website, or to Misty Long on Facebook. You can also go to Patricia Jones on Facebook, or to Devoted to Him Global Ministries on Facebook. And we also have a website, devotedtohim.org. All those different routes you can take to communicate, and just let us know. We'll be glad to give you some suggestions to get you started on finding a church home. Well, we thank God for you, and meet us here next time, okay? And I know you're going to have a fabulous week, and I know miracles are going to happen and prayers are going to be answered, and you can always feel free to share those testimonies too. So until we meet again, God has us in a circle of love that can be unbroken. Stay tuned for our final announcements, and we look forward to the next conversation. We love you. God bless. Goodbye.
You've been listening to Soaring with Eagles in Leadership and Excellence with your host, Misty Long, Director of Devoted to Him Ministries. Please visit our website, devotedtohim.org, and join us on Facebook at Devoted to Him Global Ministries. Join us next time on Soaring with the Eagles in Leadership and Excellence.